Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We are jumping into a new series called Supernatural. The series is going to be about the supernatural. Yes, very clever title. It's going to be super exciting. I feel really honored to be able to kick it off. So come with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. That's where we're going to be, John chapter 6. Title of my message this morning is The Bread of Life. The Bread of Life. You know, we're preaching about carbs. You know, it's going to be a good Sunday. Amen. Hey, listen, one quick administrative thing. I think there's probably some people in here. You've been coming to C3 for a while, and you're starting to twitch a little bit because you see the communion cups in the back of your seat. But we didn't do communion. You're kind of starting to freak out a little bit, heart palpitations, starting to breathe heavily. Don't worry about it. We're going to do communion a little bit later on in the service as part of the message. It's going to be great. So just breathe. No worries. We're going to do it. All right? So, hey, this message, the bread of life, is going to be about supernatural provision. Supernatural provision. I want you to know, as I am preaching this to you, this isn't coming from some place of like years and years of mastery of walking this out and the abundance of God. I'm really going to preach something to you that God has been revealing to me very, very recently. And so I want you to know that I'm just deep down in the trenches with you guys. I'm preaching this to me just as much as I'm preaching it to you, all right? So the bread of life, it's going to be awesome. And so going to be about supernatural provision. So let's look at John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 26. But before we do, I got to set a couple things up. So John chapter 6 starts with a very famous miracle of Jesus's. It's the only miracle that appears outside of the resurrection, the only miracle that shows up in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that is the feeding of the 5,000, okay? Now, you know, we hear that story, and if you've got a church background, you certainly know it, and even if you don't have a church background, you probably know this story, and it doesn't really resonate with us in our culture and this society the way it would have back then. And so, you know, for us, it's just like, oh, Jesus fed them. That's so sweet. He's so nurturing. What a sweet guy. But to them, it would have had a totally different meaning. You see, in our abundant, very affluent Western culture, you know, I know we all fall on different ends of the financial spectrum, but in general, most of us probably spend somewhere between 10 to 20% of our take-home pay on food. Right? Everything else goes to whatever, mortgage, rent, car, insurance, blah, 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 blah. Now, in first century Palestine, and really today in underdeveloped and third world countries, that's not the case. In first century Palestine, up to 90% of your money would have gone to buy food. So very much for them, money equaled food, food equaled money. So you have to understand when Jesus, you know, and we all know the story, right? So Jesus is teaching to 5,000 families, could have been as many as 15 to 20,000 people there, and he realizes they get hungry, and so he looks around, what are we going to do? Finds a boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves, gives thanks for it, multiplies, and miraculously everybody is fed, they have their full, and there are leftovers. And so you have to understand, they viewed this miracle as like, oh my gosh, this guy shows up and he makes cash rain from the sky. And so they are just like, man, this is awesome. And so Jesus does this miracle, and he did it on the side, like on the shore of this lake. Then he goes to the other side of the lake, and everybody is looking for him, okay? They are like, we found this new cash cow. Where did he go? Let's go find him. And so this huge swarm of people are like, we got to find this guy. So they are wandering around trying to find Jesus. They finally catch up with him on the other side of the lake and says, you know, hey Jesus, where'd you go? Please don't run away quite so fast, please. And this is Jesus' response in John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them, I think the verse will be up on the screen behind me. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal on him. So what Jesus is saying is, hey, you know, you guys are just here because you got your bellies full the day before, but I'm telling you that you actually have a need that is far greater than just your physical needs. And he's speaking in, you know, we know 2,000 years later that he's talking about himself, right? But they don't know that. He's speaking kind of vaguely and in code, saying, hey, God knows you have a deeper need. He's working on meeting that need. You guys need to be more concerned with that need than just, you know, getting some free food by the lake. Verse 28, then they say to him, what shall we do then that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. This is my favorite part, verse 30. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they're trying to get Jesus to just, you know, make some bread show up. And Jesus is saying, hey, look, I'm not like, you know, dance monkey dance. We're not going to do that. And there is something greater that you need. And they just like, yeah, okay. Well, if that's true, why don't you prove it by doing a miracle? Oh, and of all the miracles you could do, may we suggest that our fathers ate manna in the desert? You could just, you know, just do that one, right? And so we see that they are just trying to, they're just trying to play Jesus, right? Just trying to get him to do what they want. And he's like not having any of it. And so, I don't, you know, some of you know me well, some of you don't know me at all. I don't know, I have no idea what your perception of me is, what you think of me. Maybe you think I'm successful and I've got it all together. Maybe you think I'm a total loser. I don't know. But I'm telling you that for the past 3 years of my life, I have been really pretty perpetually frustrated with my career and with where, you know, how I feel like God should be blessing me. Because, you know, I serve the church, I tithe, I give, and what the heck, you know, I see other people around me getting blessed in ways that I feel like I deserve. And so, you know, you guys see me on Sunday, my wife and I are up here a lot holding a microphone, and you know, every Sunday I show up and I say, you know what, God, forget about the frustrations of the week. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to just give myself to this church. But Monday through Saturday, I have been historically pretty grumpy. And so it started to really take a toll on me physically. It took a toll on my marriage with my wife. I mean, how hard is it for a spouse to just watch, you know, your other half just constantly frustrated, constantly just, you know, in the what do you call it, the hamster wheel, just trying to. And so what I realized, what God began to download to me is that I have been just like these people in John chapter 6. Only after Jesus as a source of provision instead of as provision itself. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is that if you want to create a flow of supernatural provision in your life, you've got to realize that whatever your individual needs are, you know, we've all got, every single one of you in here has got needs, right? You have, maybe your needs are financial. And I'm not trying to trivialize them or make light of them. I'm sure there are some people in here that have serious financial needs. Like, if I do not get some more money, I'm going to lose my house, or I'm going to lose whatever. You know, maybe your needs are physical. Maybe some of you have a terminal diagnosis. I mean, that is about as serious as it gets, right? Maybe your needs are relational. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks and you know, desperately want to hold it together, but no matter what, you guys just can't seem to be on the same page. Maybe you're desperately lonely and just you know, really believing for a new friend. You know, I don't know what your needs are. And I'm telling you, and I know this is going to sound controversial, I'm not trying to make light of those needs, but I'm telling you, no matter what your need is, no matter how serious it is, every single one of us universally has a greater need, a deeper need, a spiritual need. And so I'm going to give you just kind of the roadmap to unlocking supernatural provision that God has really been downloading to me over the past couple months. And so really it's kind of these three steps. The very first one is going to be acknowledge your need. You've got to acknowledge your need. And I'm not talking about your, you know, your natural needs, like, you know, for your finances or for your health or whatever. I'm talking about your ultimate need, the need that we all universally share. You've got to acknowledge that need. Now, I don't think this takes a lot of convincing. I think it's pretty easy to look around at human beings and realize that something is a little off. I mean, we don't do the things that we should do. We do the things we shouldn't do. We hurt each other. We're self-destructive. I don't think it's hard to see if you just look around that there's just something, we're just not quite kicking on all cylinders, right? Now, if you need some convincing, I will just look at children, okay? I have a 2-year-old son, and listen, my 2-year-old son is as sweet as 2-year-olds can be. He is an angel. But I have been given a front row seat to this incredible social experiment over the past few weeks. My wife's sister is in town, and she has twin 2-year-olds, and so the 3 cousins, all 2 years old, watching them hang out. Nothing convinces me more of the depravity of the human soul than watching these 3. You can put them in a room with 50 toys. There's 3 of them. They can each have, like, plenty. And the only toy that they want is the toy that the other ones have. And they just, this little swarm of, they just bounce from toy to toy and just shout out the word mine over and over again. Mine, 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 mine. That's, you know, there's something, and listen, my son did not learn that from us. I promise you that. We are generous people. We share. I don't walk around and hit Katie over the head and say mine. I don't do that. She's done that to me a couple times, but I don't ever do that. I'm just kidding. So, you can just see that from the beginning, there's something in us that wants to elevate, you know, our needs, ourselves, wants to look out for number one first, right? One of the things that, to me, one of the biggest arguments against atheism to me is, and you're going to have to follow me for a second, is that generally speaking, we as human beings are all, in general, morally outraged by social injustice, okay? So hear me out. Most of us, I know there's some really bad people and they don't count, but most of us, when we see a bully picking on a weakling, like we get, like my blood boils. Nothing makes me, I hate that. You know, when we hear about the strong, you know, picking on the weak, like it just makes us angry. Like that's just not right. You know, regardless of your, I'm not here to talk politics, don't care, you know, whatever your, but generally speaking, you know, the left-leaning folks, you know, view the wealthy as oppressing the poor, and they just hate that, just anger, da, da. Why? Why are we so upset when the strong pick on the weak? Because listen, if there is no God, there is no, that's just natural. It's all natural, all just natural processes, just, you know, natural selection, evolution, just the strong weeding out the weak so that the strong of the species can advance and the species can get stronger. That's just natural, according to, you know, that theory, right? But it makes us so mad because deep down, every single one of us know, whether we want to admit or not, that there's something not right about it. It doesn't sit. We all know deep down in our spirits that's not the way that it's supposed to be, right? So there is something. There is this need that we all have. Universally, every single human being has this same need. So that's acknowledging the need, okay? And I think almost everybody does that. Christian, non-Christian, you know, whatever. Most people understand that there's something missing in their life and they just spend their whole life trying to, you know, stick something in that void and fill it, right? So that's just acknowledging your need. And I think that's pretty easy. Most people do that, right? Step 2, this is going to sound the same, but it's not, is to understand your need, okay? Now, it's very, very different. I'll give you maybe an analogy that might help. Let's say that you have hunger pains, okay? You are hungry. And so in order to alleviate those hunger pains, you just have to put something into your belly, right? Now, it can be whatever. I mean, you can eat the healthiest, like, kale salad with chard-infused beets and, I don't know, that was the healthiest thing I could think of. Or you can eat a Big Mac. You can eat, wow, okay, that got some cheers. Okay, come on. You can eat, I mean, you could eat shoe leather, paper, whatever. All of those things are going to actually remove the hunger pain from your life, right? Because that's all that's just acknowledging the need and just reactionarily meeting it. But if you actually understand the need, if you know I am feeling hunger pains because my body is craving nutrition, understanding the need, then you can make a more informed decision about what you put in your body. If my body is craving nutrition, then I'm going to put nutritious food into my body, right? We've got to understand the need, okay? So there is a need that we can all acknowledge. Now we've got to understand it. And ironically enough, the Bible gives an incredible explanation for where this need comes from and why we all have it. In the creation account in Genesis, God creates everything, creates man and woman, puts them in this garden, and just says, you guys have free reign. Do whatever in the world you want. No restrictions. The only thing I ask is that you don't mess with this tree. Anything else? Free reign. Do whatever you want. Don't care. And you should know, God says to Adam and Eve, that the consequence for messing with this tree, it's going to cost you your life. Death will be the penalty. It will cause disconnection from me, and because I am the source of life, it will introduce death into your world. Now, Adam and Eve say, ah. I don't think he's really that serious. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I think we know better than God, and so we all know the story. They partake of this tree, and disconnection happens between the creator and the created. And so, really, the need that every single one of us have universally is that we all, whether you are not a Christian yet or a Christian, like we at some point, we all owed a debt that we are unable to pay. That is the need. That is the universal need, that we all owe something that we don't want to pay and cannot pay. So that is the universal need that every single one of our human beings share. Now, again, I'm working my way towards unlocking supernatural provision in your life. Just bear with me. We're getting there, okay? And so, I want to, in my life, what happened to me is I really, I lost sight of the fact that that was and is my most fundamental need. That's what I actually need God to provide for more than anything else. That is my greatest need, okay? And so I elevated, my career, my finances, just kind of keeping up with the Joneses to where I felt like that was really my greatest need. And so it began to consume my relationship with God. It was the only thing I ever prayed for. It's just, I'm sure a poor God, just like for the past 3 years, just listened to me just whine every day about, this contract that was being delayed or this, employee that was giving me grief at work and da-da, why isn't this da-da-da-da? I'm sure that's probably what it sounded like to God. And really, a couple things happened to me that the Holy Spirit began to use to start just kind of showing me that there was something a little twisted and amiss in my heart. We have some really good friends. They're some of our best friends. My wife and I moved to San Diego from Texas. We lived in Texas with them. We lived in the same apartment complex. I mean, we love them. They've since moved to Nashville. And when we met and we were first hanging out, I mean, we were broke. Both couples. I mean, just living on a prayer, like potluck dinner at our apartment was like ramen and some beans out of a can. But our friends have since become very, very successful. I mean, very wealthy. And I remember one time I'm sitting in the car with Katie, and Katie's on the phone with this friend, and she's got it over Bluetooth in the car, and I'm just kind of hearing the conversation, just whatever, sitting idly by. And she, Katie's friend, starts just kind of talking about some issues going on in their marriage. Nothing crazy, just, normal stuff, communication, just kind of going through a funk. And I found myself subconsciously, I didn't even realize that I was thinking it because this was so, buried deep down in me, but the Holy Spirit kind of opened my eyes to it later on. I thought to myself, why are you fighting? Like, you have so much money. You should have no problems. Like, I don't care if you can't communicate. You have a bunch of money. And I realized just how messed up is that? That's so messed up. That's just false, not true. But I really believe this and really obsessed over, man, there's just some like magical line or level or something that if I could get there, then all my problems would just go away. I found that I couldn't share in my friends' blessings. Like when any of my really good friends would have some, just whatever, whether it was financial or anything else, I found myself being like, yeah, okay, cool, good for you, but hey, what the heck, And it's really very sad. One of he is my best friend in the world. I watched him, branch out on his own, start his own company. It's been wildly successful. He's had an incredible first year. And on the outside, I was very happy for him. On the inside, I was trying really hard to be happy for him. And I would find myself being jealous and even like resenting him. And he's like my best friend. How wicked and twisted is it that I can't even just, be happy with my best friend in the world for having this, God bless his life, right? And so I realized that I had lost sight of my true need, of the universal need that we all have, that we all owe this debt, that we are disconnected from the God that made us. And that is the need, right? That is the ultimate need, the need that we must have met to have everything else flow from it. And so first you got to acknowledge your need. Then you have to understand your need. And the last thing you have to do is you just have to accept the provision. You've got to accept the provision, okay? So God provides for us both universally and individually, okay? So God provides, we all, you know, we've established that we all have a universal need that must be met. This thing in us, this void, this gap that has to be bridged in order for us to be reunited with God. We all have that, and God provides for that universally, and then he provides for all of our individual needs. And so in John 6, verse 36, so after Jesus had this whole discourse with these people, they're, Jesus is speaking in code, kind of being vague, trying to, you know, get them to realize, like, hey, just getting some bread one day is not going to do it for you. That's not going to solve all of your problems. And he's trying to hint at them, like, hey, God is trying to provide a greater thing for you. God is trying to provide what you really need, and they're having none of it. So in verse 36, no more. He's like, look, you guys are not getting it. I am about to be as direct and as blunt as I possibly can. So in verse 36, John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am. Me. I am the bread of life. I am the source of nourishment and provision. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So what you need to understand today is that it's so easy for us because our individual needs, our natural needs are sort of like right in front of us, right? They're always right there at the end of every month or whatever the case may be. But we all have a greater need that must be met, that God is trying to meet in Jesus. So remember, that need is that we owe this debt that we cannot pay, right? So, you know, we, 2,000 years later, know the rest of the story, right? Jesus goes to the cross. He dies and is risen again on the third day. And that is the payment for this debt. Now, when I was kind of new to Christianity and kind of new to faith, I didn't really understand that. I mean, for me, I always was on board with you know, there being this void in me. I mean, because I know me. If there is a perfect God, it's pretty easy for me to see that I am infinitely far away from him. And so there has to be some way, there's a chasm that has to be bridged. I mean, I've always been on board with that. But I was like, I was kind of like, okay, but why does Jesus have to die for that to go away? Why can't it just be like, in our modern culture, everybody loves the idea of God being a God of love. And God loves everybody, everything. And so why can't God just say, you know what, I made these creatures, and they don't do what I'd like for them to do, and I just really, sometimes I get mad at them, but, you know, I'm a God of love, it's in my nature, and so I am just going to forgive them. I'm just going to forgive them. Why couldn't God have just done that, right? Why did Jesus have to actually go and die to pay this debt, to bridge this gap? And I'll explain it to you this way. I hope this analogy works. Let's say I borrow your car. You let me borrow your car. So I take your car out, I'm running some errands, and I am in the Target parking lot, and I back into a light pole. Not good. So I go to the body shop, and I'm like, hey, how much is this going to be to fix? I borrowed my friend's car. I'm really freaking out. And they say, it's going to be $1,000 to fix. I'm like, I don't have $1,000. So I go to you, and I say, listen, friend, I am so sorry, but I have put a, you know, little fender bender there in your car, and it's going to be $1,000 to fix, and I can't pay it. I don't have the $1,000. You have two options, okay? You can hold me accountable for that debt. You can say, not my problem, figure it out and pay it, or you can forgive me of the debt. But the dent in the bumper does not go away. What is happening when you forgive me is you are absolving me of responsibility for that debt, but then you are in turn taking responsibility for it. You are going to have to pay that $1,000 to fix that bumper, or you're going to sell the car and accept $1,000 less on the resale value, right? So forgiveness does not mean that the debt magically goes away. It means that the responsibility for the debt is passed on. You are absolved of that responsibility, and it is paid for by somebody else. And so that's what you need to understand, that in Jesus, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I am about to go to the cross and I am going to die so that you don't have to. God is going to meet that need, that bridge that gap between you and him, and that is our most ultimate need. That is what we actually need provision for, right? Ultimately, that is more than anything else, regardless of what your needs are in the natural, that's what you need first, right? You guys with me? So, but here's the really good news. Like what I'm not saying and what God is not saying is that, you know, well, you got Jesus and that should be enough. So don't pray to me about your financial troubles. Don't pray to me because you need healing in your body. I gave you Jesus, that should be enough. It doesn't work like that. You see, God provides for us our universal needs, but then he also provides for our individual needs. You know, as we embark on this series on the supernatural and on the miraculous, you need to understand the nature or sort of the why behind miracles, okay? Miracles are not displays of God's power. They're not proofs that God exists. And the reason that I know this, and this might sound a little sacrilegious, but if I was Jesus, I'm not, but if I was, I could have thought of some way cooler stuff to do, okay? I mean, walking on water is like, I mean, I can't do it, but it's not like, you know, there's bugs that walk on water. There's bugs that actually the geometry and their anatomy is such that they don't break the hydrogen bonds in the water and they can walk on water. Yeah. There's some lizards that the anatomy of their little web feet is such that they can run super fast and run across the water, right? So I'm just like, man, if I would have done some way cooler stuff. But what you need to understand is the miraculous, every single miracle that Jesus did spoke to God's nature. It was commentary on the character of God. The reason that Jesus walked on water was to show that he was Lord over creation. The reason that he fed the 5,000 was to show that he is our provider. The reason that he healed the sick is to show that he is our healer. So the miraculous and the supernatural will be unlocked in your life when you realize the why. These people in John chapter 6, they didn't get the why. They were just there trying to get their bellies full. But if you want to really unlock supernatural provision in your life, you've got to realize that Jesus has a greater need that he went and met. And if you don't, I mean, listen, I have a 2-year-old son, as I mentioned. He is in this phase right now where he is obsessed with Moana. Yes, I personally have seen Moana about 45 times and counting. And it makes me a little sad because really at the end of the day, it's still a Disney princess movie. And I'm like, my son is like obsessed with this. I wish it was like, I don't know, Cars or Toy Story or something, but he loves Moana. And it's a great film. It is a really, really good film. But I remember one morning I came downstairs and my wife was super sweet and let me sleep in a little bit. And so I come downstairs to see my son just mouth breathing, entranced in front of the TV, just like. So I come downstairs and I'm like, you know, hey Zeke, hey buddy, good morning. And I mean, no response, just nothing. So I'm, again, you know, get a little hey buddy, good morning. And like catatonic, okay? So I'm like, all right. I step between him and the TV. And I was like, hey buddy, good morning, Dada loves you. And he looks at me and says, move, Dada. And I was just like, what? I mean, you're sitting in my living room on a chair that I bought, on a TV that I bought, on cable that I pay for. Don't tell me move, Dada, right? But listen, how many of us, we do that with God? We just want God to get out of the way so that we can get the stuff. And I'm telling you, if you want to see the supernatural unlocked in your life, you have to put the supernatural and the miraculous in its proper place. There's this old hymn, I think it's Blessed Assurance, but there's a line that says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so when you really understand that above everything else, God met your most fundamental need, the thing that you need more than anything else, when you realize that, when you accept that, all of the other stuff just kind of, it doesn't go away. I'm not trying to trivialize it, but it just becomes not as, where you just don't obsess over it, because that's the, and here's the crazy thing. When you get to that place, that's when the floodgates open. When all, and I'm telling you that from my own life. I mean, really, this is a very recent thing for me. I feel like I, you know, spent these 3 years just really ripped up and obsessed over these really trivial things. And when I repented, and repented is just a big theological word that means to do a 180, to go a different direction. And I realized that and just, you know, asked God for forgiveness, said I was sorry, began to really focus on Him. And that stuff just really, I stopped being so frustrated at work and was just thankful that I have a great job and thankful that, you know. And then the crazy thing is that's when the floodgates really began to open. And man, the past 6 months, I have made more money than I ever have in my whole life. And I'm telling you, there's nothing special about me. Like, there's no, like God is no respecter of persons. I feel fortunate that God cared enough about me to shake me and say, hey, your focus is really, really messed up, and really allowed me to put it back in the proper place.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.